وعليكم السلام. إن شاء الله. Yeah. Shukran. I'm reluctant to speak about my personal contributions, except just to give the chronological order that I come from a Muslim family where two things were important, truth and justice. And I was taught that if a man loves truth and justice, don't quarrel with him. And I was also taught that if you come across a person who is truthful and just, then your friendship of that person becomes obligatory on you. So alhamdulillah, I have many friends, and that makes our task so much easier. But also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, La islama illa bil jama'ah. There is no Islam without jama'ah. So we cannot fight the struggle alone. We must have social effort, communal effort, collective effort. Because when two people do something that is important, they create something that is bigger than themselves. And it's in that spirit that we entered the struggle. I was 15 years old when I participated in the anti-PAS campaign in 1960. So you can calculate, I was born 1945. And I was born into an apartheid system. So we never knew any other type of system except the oppressive system. And I believe that you fight ideas with better ideas and you fight force with greater force. And governments all over the world know that is my position. They cannot argue with me because it's axiomatic. Because if you fight force with equal force, then you have a stalemate. If you try and push your hands together with the same amount of pressure, then you remain in a state of deadlock. So we fight ideas with better ideas, and we fight force with greater force. I served 5 years on Robben Island from 64 to 69. I was banned 3 months before I was released. Met Nelson Mandela there on the 2nd of December 1964. And when my banning order expired, I was again restricted to further banning orders, and again detained 1980 for a year without trial for opposing racist education, because I believe you're either a teacher or you're a civil servant. And I think our ulama all over the world must make that decision. They're either teachers or they are civil servants. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Alla ulama'u warathatul anbiya, that the ulama are the heirs of the prophets. And what they inherit are two things, the mantle of truth firstly, and secondly the mantle of justice. If the ulama don't carry those two mantles, you can dispense with them, because they're not going to lead you anywhere. Right? So, the banning orders was a reflection that I was a teacher and not a civil servant. And then in 1986, I was arrested under the Terrorism Act, because 10 of our brothers were arrested at Athens Airport, 22nd of April, 1986. They had gone to Libya for military training, and they were supposed to come back to South Africa via Zimbabwe. And unfortunately, some of the guerrillas who had infiltrated had my telephone number on him. Instead of putting it in code, he had written it down, and they traced me. I went back to Robben Island in 1988 after a trial of 2.5 years and detention, and came off the island in February 91 and restricted to 100 kilometers from Cape Town. So while the rest of the world was debating the fate of South Africa, and Mandela and all the other Communist Party, PAC, ANC were traveling all over the world, I could not participate in the discussion. And then I realized that the message that I carry must be of some importance. And unfortunately, in all parts of the world, the Muslims normally discover the value of the message after the leadership has been wiped out. Imam Hassan al-Banna, Sayyid Qutb, etc. And I hope, inshallah, in this community, that you respect your leadership, you demand the best out of them, you support them in that which is right, and correct them if they act wrongly. And in that spirit, the community can advance.
Yeah, Just wanted to quickly first say that Pradhan Mantri will be giving a talk at Islamic Center Madhava tomorrow at 6 o'clock, see if you can make it. My question is, in South Africa, so many atrocities were done against people there. What's the concept of forgiveness in Islam?
That's a very good question. The question you are posing was asked of me by an imam in South Africa when I came off Robben Island, and he's Hafidh al-Quran, but he asked me, I'm not Hafidh al-Quran, and he said to me, what does the Quran say about retribution? So I said, no, you should be telling me, because you are reciting this ayat al-Quran every day. The reason why he asked me was because they wanted to push this TRC, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The strange thing is, no truths were told at the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. They told partial truths, because they didn't want to say what was really wrong and who did what. So a number of the apartheid criminals appeared before the tribunal, like Eugene de Kock, who was the director of Vlakplaas, where most of the tortures and killings took place. Dr. Wouter Besson is now on trial on 43 charges, one which includes the killing of 250 SWAPO guerrillas by injecting their muscles with a relaxant and then dumping their bodies in the sea by means of a helicopter, distributing mandrakes and other drugs in the community, the chemical warfare they conducted against the people. The area where I come from is said to consume 80% of the mandrakes produced in the world. It's a community of about 4 million. So who is responsible for all of these things? So the concept of retribution in Islam and reconciliation, it is a talk in itself. But your question is so important, because at the moment, Muslims are also fighting Muslims. You know how angry I became when Northern Alliance was fighting Taliban, etc. And the Ayatul Quran referring to reconciliation between Muslims is first and foremost Surah 4, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 59, which reads, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيُوا رَسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Right? But it continues, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. He was Rasul, right? Which means, you have Iman. You have reached this level of consciousness and awareness. Obey Allah and obey His Rasul. And obey those who obey Allah and His Rasul. But if differences should arise from amongst you, refer it back to Allah and His Rasul. You cannot refer it back to the disputants. And the other one is in Surah Al-Hujurat, which says that if two mu'min have differences, then they must reconcile. But if the one transgresses against the commands of Allah, then unite against him until he complies with the commands of Allah. Right? Then it says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that the believers are a single brotherhood. So we are a far way off from confronting our enemies. Reconciliation between oppressor and oppressed is not possible, because oppressed and oppressor are not brothers, they are enemies. The exploiter and the exploited are not brothers, they are enemies. And that is why Rasulullah said, help your brother whether he is oppressed or he is an oppressor. So the Sahaba said, but it is easy to help my brother if he is oppressed. How do I help him if he is an oppressor? And Rasulullah said, prevent him from oppressing others. That is our reconciliation. So when people commit crimes against individuals, you as an individual can forgive the person. But when you commit crimes against the community, no individual can forgive that person. The due process of law must be followed. Because if everyone is forgiven who harms the community is going to be destroyed. And unfortunately, that is our problem in South Africa. That the criminals, the international crime syndicate that ran this crime against humanity called apartheid, their pensions are intact and they get golden handshakes. And the oppressed masses are exactly where they are. 7 million squatters, 8 million illiterate people, right? Unemployment is 40% in South Africa. The official figure says it's 26. So in Islam, the principles are quite clear. Shukran.